join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today's message is Small Beginnings, Big Outcomes by Pastor Chandler Bailey.
I want to remind some people this morning that God's not done with you. Amen. He has more in you. You are wired in a customized way and your environment is strategic and bringing it out of you. Your pain is your gain. Your life is a setup to bring the best out of you by using the worst conditions of your environment. What I'm trying to tell you is God made you prosperous first, then placed you in poverty so that poverty will have a problem with you and you will have a problem with it, therefore giving God glory because you're not comfortable in it. Your human mind is telling you that you should be because you were born in it. God said you might have been born placed in it, but I didn't make you in it. I made you here, place you in that family, place you in that environment, so the devil can know that I have so much glory that I can place my human beings in the worst case scenario, and they're still going to come out with glory as long as they believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins and walk through the open door that Jesus provides for them. They can land on favor, grace, mercy, riches, and as long as they're not worried about right and wrongs, the righteous of God in Christ can help them execute the right word of God in their life. And so God says to you this morning that though your beginning be small, your ladder you shall greatly increase, because he doesn't have the capacity to lie. Because the only way you can lie is to not be a celestial being. You have to be a flesh being with a human mind. Lions were created from humans making sense out of no sense by eating things forbidden. You need knowledge to lie. God doesn't need knowledge. He's the truth. So God is saying to you, what I place in your heart and what I'm bothering you about is really me. We got to give you scripture for those who are all scared right now because the Holy Ghost is messing your life up. The title of this subject I want to talk to you this morning is Small Beginnings, Big Outcomes. Small beginnings, big outcomes. Small beginnings, big outcomes. Small beginnings, big outcomes. Testimony story about your man of God, my father. How many of y'all know Pastor likes water? Some of us, wow, that's good. It's good. This is good. It's practice. Well, your pastor, not me, Bishop Desmond Herbert Bailey, he likes his boat. He likes water. How many of y'all know pastor likes water? You know, every pastor has a hobby. They don't tell you it, but they have a hobby that we are intensely focused on to remind us that we're human. Okay, let's focus. So he likes water, but here's the thing. How many of y'all know part of his testimony is he was birthed in poverty and he came out of poverty? Raise your hand if you know that story. Okay, it's really true. It's really true. It's not a lie. Okay? So he was born in Jersey City, New Jersey. How many of y'all know he was born in Jersey City, New Jersey? Okay, cool. How many of y'all know he's from the projects in Jersey City, New Jersey? Raise your hand. Okay, cool. So your man of God is from Jersey City, New Jersey, in the projects, in the hood. Family members, well, my family members too, are family members that I don't know of, because see, when a man walks right before the Lord, he removes the memory of the brokenness. So I don't remember, so I just have to believe in his story. Because God's favor on his life protected me from any of it. Yeah. All right, that's another story. For a man who's a first-time change maker in your family, God said your seed will have nothing to do. Your righteousness is not in vain. Your child won't go through the pain you went through. Okay, back to the testimony. So he was around buildings and he had nothing around him that was pleasant, but something in him loved water. He was in the hood, but why do you like water if you're in the hood? God placed in him the desire to want to be around water. His desire that was in him was a sign that he was not supposed to stay there. Some of you all, your boyfriend, your boo, your fiance, your husband gets mad at you because everything you like is expensive. And y'all don't come and you don't have all the riches yet. So there is a frustration all the time, but something in you still is attracted to it. God made you to desire something so that you can get out of it. To remind you that you will live frustrated at this level because I placed you in it. I didn't make you from it. Amen. Small beginnings, big outcomes. Back to pastor. So his testimony. So now he has a house in the area that he likes, that he desired. And he has a boat and he has water, access to the water. But I'm here to tell you, though he has it physically now, it was in him when he was 12 and 14. He always liked water. I want to encourage you right now, small beginnings, big outcomes, that God has placed a compass in your heart that will bother you all the days of your life until you get out. You'll never be comfortable with divorce, even though all you know is it. You'll never be comfortable with poverty, even though all you know is poverty. You'll never be comfortable with liars, even though you've been lied to all your life. Because God has placed your breakthrough inside. Your breakthrough is inside. That's why you say something's good when I preach. It's not because of what I'm saying. It's because it resonates with something inside. All I'm doing is knocking on your breakthrough that's already in you. Something you says that though my beginning be small, my ladder will greatly increase. Let's give you some scriptures. So I have some three foundational scriptures that I want to talk to you from. Mark 4, 26 to 29 said, Jesus also said, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground night and day while he's asleep or awake. The seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. Just like you're about to not understand how you got that job. Just like your family's not going to understand how you got married. Just like your daddy's not going to understand how you're a good father when he was your worst father. Because God's about to put a... Because God does not care about what your environment looks like. Your environment was strategic to make you annoyed with average, to make you annoyed with low-level thinking and living. That's why you've always been a businessman. You just happen to be selling the wrong thing. You're so good with money, you don't even have good credit, and you got it. You don't need credit. You have a businessman mentality. God is saying to you right now, though your beginning be small, your ladder you'll greatly increase. Job 8 and 7 says, though but your beginning will be small, thy latter end should greatly increase. 1 Samuel 15, 17 through verse 18 says, is it not true that even though you were small, someone say insignificant, in your own eyes, you were made the head of the tribes of Israel. This writer, church, is talking about Saul. That I made you king before you knew you was kingly. That I made you a leader before you got all subdued and smelling yourself in your leadership. I made you that. I chose you. I selected you in brokenness. I selected you when you thought that you were small. I selected you when you were insignificant. I'm here to talk to someone who has $5 in their pocket and tell you that's not, you don't have $5, you have six figures. Amen. I'm here to tell you that you feel like what you have is insignificant, but it's all a setup to make the devil upset because you've been placed in the worst environment, birthed in the worst family, come from something that's insignificant, but God says, that's exactly why I want to use you. So no man can take my credit, says the Lord. I want people to be like. It was me in your life, not your mama, not your daddy, not your friends, not your job, not your environment. It had to have been God, because I'm from this area too, and I'm from this small town too, and I'm from this city too, and I'm from the country too. Why you ain't like just like me? You got the same grammar, but you have different math in your wallets and bank accounts and children and 1 Samuel 15:17-18. It is not true that even though you were small and significant in your own eyes, you were made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed you king over Israel, and the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go totally destroy sinners and Amalekites and fight against them until they are eliminated. But the point I want to mention in these three foundational scriptures, I want to merge them together and tell you this. I want to talk to you from the subject title, Small Beginnings, Big Outcomes. God specializes with using small people who feel like they have insignificant backgrounds, who have been innocently done wrong, or wrong has done them wrong. It doesn't matter what your excuse is. God says, I don't need your excuse to use you. So God's not done with you. And everything in your life is strategic. And I believe by faith this morning, this will be a reminder, but for some of you all, you're going to give birth to the fact that it's okay to be you, and it's okay to have your grammar, and it's okay to have a little touch of hood. And it's okay, because God wants to use all those things in your personality, your traits, and your background, and your story to make everybody feel like they're surprised that you're there. Amen. Everybody's surprised that God used you. When everybody was annoyed with you growing up, and you've been bullied, and you've been picked on, and you just didn't fit in. Isn't that crazy? You didn't fit in. How can God allow you to be in something you don't fit in? The compass wouldn't let you fit in. What God placed in you, it wasn't that you didn't fit in. Your siblings said, no, you look broke like us. Your daddy was like, no, I'm broke, you broke too. But something in your seven-year-old self stole like everything that was expensive. Your parents will hide stuff from you. You still found a way to want something that they could not afford growing up. Because God has placed something in you that's strategic to move the family forward. And you cannot be like everybody else in your family. If you don't go for yourself, you won't allow others to get out. See, you're looking at yourself like I'm just a sibling. No, you're about to be someone's aunt. You better get yourself together and win. You're about to be someone's mama, someone's dad. They got to find you and say, well, everybody said I can't do it, but Uncle John. Everybody said I couldn't do it, but you know, Sally Sue. Ain't nobody named Sally Sue up here, but Cynthia, small beginnings. Someone say small beginnings, big outcomes. So I'm here to remind you, for everybody in here, God specializes with insignificance. And yes, he loves to do work with small beginnings. And I want to tell you this. How do you know? Well, how do I know God sees me? You know God sees you because no one sees you. Man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. So God placed a prosperity heart in poverty rags. He placed his glory in rags of craziness. He placed the best dad in your family tree, clothed in a man who doesn't know his father. Because you wanted the good father to be the one you knew. But the good father is the one that's in you. You're going to be the good dad. You're going to play catch. You're going to stay consistent. You're going to stay associated with your children. So I want to tell you right now, God is not dumb. And stop looking to man's mindset to verify what God puts in your spirit. Because God has his own version of intelligence. And he's not a dumb God. We might have an emotional reaction to the spirit of God. But God wasn't emotional when he sent it. He thought about it. It was a thought. You was a thought. You was a thought. Well, I come from foster home. You was a thought. Well, my daddy disowned me. You was a thought. They were just a tool. You still are designed to be here. I know you feel like you don't have anything, but I'm here to tell you, if you commit suicide today, you are killing something that's very expensive. You. You're more expensive than anything you think you can have. You're worth more than anything in your home. You think you're insignificant because your environment has no significance. But you are the significance for the insignificant things around you. So if you take you out, everything's done. You want to take you out because you think everything's done. If you take yourself out, everything is done. You're the thing that's valuable. So David was selected and found, according to 1 Samuel 16 and 1, the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul since I have rejected him?" God rejected Saul while he still had the title king. He's a thinker. Say, God's a thinker. So even though Saul emotionally still thinks he's king, God intellectually rejects him. He tells his prophet, "Fill your horn with oil and be on the way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." And some of us know the story, but I'm going to summarize some who don't. So Jesse brings all his sons out of the woman he's currently with. But he forgot the child that he had with his side chick, or the chick he keeps a secret. Because he's just a shepherd boy taking care of the sheep. He's not really my true son because he's not connected with what I love. I don't care if they don't love you, you're significant. I don't care if they forgot about you. Their forgetfulness is a sign of your significance. And so at the end of the day, the scripture says that Samuel said there has to be more because God has rejected all of these. These aren't the one. Because God has an intellectual process with who he chooses. And he said, "Oh, I do have this other son." And so he brings the insignificant son to the significant appointment. And now Samuel anoints, check this out. He doesn't anoint him so he can be king. He anoints him because he's already king. Because God's selection process is different than man's. We react after he says it. So I'm here to tell you, though your beginning be small, your ladder will greatly increase because your life is about to react to this word I'm speaking over you right now. You don't even know how it's going to happen. Just like David was just keeping the sheep. You're going to show up at the same place at the same time like you do. But God sent a prophet this morning and God sent someone to you and there's oil on you and God's word is going to permeate your week. And you think you're showing up at the same job, but you're in a different season. You're in a different season. And God's about to move some people out of your job. And everybody's going to be like, "They're laying everybody off. They're laying everybody off. Laying everybody off." And the Holy Spirit's going to say, "No, I'm setting you up. I'm setting you up. I'm setting you up." Someone say, "My life's a setup." So God has an intellectual process with who he chooses. The point I want to encourage you from the perspective of, "Though thy beginning be small, my ladder will greatly increase." This is not just an emotional thing you need to receive. This is you receiving God's mindset with your life, believing that he's a thinker. Believing that God can think. That even though we have a breakthrough, God doesn't shout before he releases a blessing. He doesn't go, "Here's a blessing." No, he goes, "This day, I shall bless the Merricks with everything that they've been believing God for right now." He sits on his throne with swag and he waves his hand, and then you have a new house later. Or you wonder if he did it or not, or did he already do it because it's already done. Acts 13:22. "After removing Saul, he raised up David as their king and testified about him. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own what? Heart." David's compass was better than Saul. What David had on the inside was better than what Saul was wearing on the outside. You're right. You don't look like you belong there. But inside, God sees that you belong there. "My own heart, he will carry out my will in its entirety." So I want to tell you right now that God loves you, and your brokenness is the pre-qualifier of you being whole, and that you had the qualities the entire time, that if you get a degree, that's just a label. God was going to use your background anyway. And even though man may not find that in your background check because it's been expunged, God said, "I didn't make sure it was not expunged in the realm of the spirit because I'm going to bring it out through a testimony. And I want to make sure that whether you went through something legally or you went through something in your family, no one might know about it. But God says, I know about all of it. I know about your tooth and the cavity and everything you have in your life that's broken and jacked up. And God said, I'm going to use it all for my glory because I specialize with using insignificance." So I want to talk to someone this morning who has this afternoon, whatever it is, who has the wondering syndrome. You've been wondering if God can use you. I'm wondering if God can bless me too. I'm wondering if God can use me. I wonder if I really am the head and not the tail. You have the wondering syndrome, and that's all you need for God to use you. He wants your country self, your city self, your background. He wants your mysterious testimony. He wants to get all the glory. And God told me to tell you, act like where you came from, so that when you get there, they never saw you coming. How's this country girl in the White House? Because I was in my heart when I was in the country to change the nation. How is this city boy having a house with water even though no one in his family exposed him to water? It was in his compass the whole time. Don't pay attention to your family tree. Pay attention to what God's giving you inside. You have a compass, and that's the way you get out. You don't get it a way out. God's going to show you in your heart, this is not right. You can't stay here always. It won't be like this always. One day your child going to get out of this somehow, some way. Something just keeps ringing on you on the inside, making you feel very uncomfortable with your current level, current season, current relationship, dating people like that, all these type of things you're doing. You just be doing it here, and you know deep down inside, I don't even like guys like that. I don't even like that type of dude, but why do I keep, my mind needs to be renewed. Amen. So check this out. If you blend in, when you show up, you look like you're already there, and God wants you to be a surprise attack, because the God told me to tell you, you're a walking uppercut. You're a walking uppercut, and they're going to be mad when you get there because you look like you don't belong, but that's the setup. The setup is your slingshot. The setup is the fact that you have an accent, but you're still there. And they got to, and you have to supervise them. And now they got to learn your dialect. Wow. And they've been doing this in the office for 12 years. But because of you, they got to change it. Because God gave you the position, not because of what your qualifications are, but because of what your qualities are. Because he wired you for such a time as this. Someone say, small beginnings, big outcomes. So embrace the power found in insecurities. Embrace the power found in insecurities. Saul was proud, but God reminded him, when you were insecure, that's when I made you king. David was insecure. He couldn't even wear the king's armor. Can you imagine the disrespect that some soldiers might have said? Who's this child declining the king's armor before he slays this giant? He said, no, I'm not secure in the stuff I'm about to walk in. I'm only secure in the stuff I'm used to using. Because God's about to use your country self. Your southern hospitality self, where everybody's mean, everybody picked on you for being hospitable, you about to get paid for that. God's about to use your yes ma'am, yes sir. All these things, that these qualities in you, because grandma gave it to you. God's going to make sure grandma's prayers work. Amen. and grandma's walk of faith gives God glory, because you're going to operate in something that other people went to school for, but you just hung out with grandma to get. Amen. You learn so much going to that grocery store with that relative, and they're going to hire you. Not because of your education, but because your manners. Because city folk are sometimes annoyed with city folk. Jesus. We all have insecurities. We just don't talk about them. Many of the best people God used had insecurities. So I'm going to say this to you. Noah never built a boat. Ruth never had a Boaz before. David never killed a giant until he did. Adam never had a garden until God gave him one. Eve never had a man until God presented her to one. So what I'm saying is, you don't have an excuse. Your excuses are the bullets to the fact that you do qualify for it, and that is yours. So that's why God doesn't make mistakes. Because he puts you in something that he does not allow you to practice for. And then you penalize yourself because you didn't have a chance to practice for it. But God said, I'm going to give you something that you won't be able to get ready for. As much as David thought he was prepared for the giant, that's from our perspective. But I'm telling you, the giant did not look nothing like the lion and the bear. It did not. You're not David. From the reader's standpoint, we're like, well, God's so a genius. He prepared him from the giant by using the lion and the bear. No. Each encounter is different when you walk by faith. And so for those of us who have some level of success, they don't understand that you're still gritty and grindy and you're still believing God because they think you arrived. That's them looking at you from their perspective. But you know in your heart, God ain't done yet. God ain't done yet. They think you have some level of success. You're like, man, I just got started. Because God's going to take you to new levels and new heights. Mary never gave birth to a savior before. Can you imagine the teenager Mary? First of all, can you at least send a human being to tell me I'm pregnant? You send a celestial being, Star Trek, Star Wars angel. You are pregnant and you're not married and you didn't even have intercourse, but you're pregnant. Can you imagine the fear? I'm talking about scientifically the fear. What is this child going to look like? Scientifically. Then theologically, people are going to think I sinned because there's a Jewish girl and I'm about to get married. And then just practicality, my husband's going to think I cheated on him. So on three different layers and dimensions, she was small in her own mind on why God chose her to give birth to something that can save. On so many different areas. But see, God gave the capacity in her to bring forth Christ, not around her.
God's desire for us is that our latter end would greatly increase. We may think that what he has for us is small, but in the end, if we allow him to use us, we'll have big outcomes. In the message, Pastor Chandler Bailey gives us biblical examples of people who had small beginnings, but big outcomes. You can order this message today by calling 877-798-5433 or go online to www.rightdirection.info. Just ask for small beginnings, big outcomes. As we continue to socially distance, be sure to stay connected with us online. Stream our services on Facebook and YouTube, as well as rdci.info via the Watch Live tab. Sunday morning services are at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on YouTube, Facebook, and our website. Wednesday Bible study airs at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, Women's Bible Study airs at 12 noon via Facebook Live. Consider connecting with us as a partner or an iChurch member. More information about our partnership and iChurch member services can be found on our website at rdci.info. For consistent updates and encouragement, connect with us on social media through Facebook at Right Direction Church International and on Twitter and Instagram at TheRDCI. Right Direction Ministries, transforming lives and impacting generations.